Now on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Shoulder pass to Tomlin. It won't go, but it's picked up by Noel. Out to Ish for three. Good! He got it! Massoud! What a shot! He's got 13 and four threes. Eight for the Wildcats, and it's 66-64.
It's on the way. Got it. 23 for Holmes. K-State will play it in. And the shot by Cam Carter bounces off the backboard. And Iowa State hangs on to win this one. 80-76.
They had quite a bit of success driving and scoring at the rim on you guys today. Why do you think that was a difficult matchup, and what can you guys do to break that?
Well, they have really good shooters, and sometimes we're probably spread out a little bit too much. I'll have to go look at the film. I thought we let right-hand drivers drive right, and we just have to do a little bit better job than that.
Drives right baseline, short corner jumper from Tenzin Airball. Run down by Honor, who bumps into Mosley. Missouri throws ahead to Mosley, right side. Baseball pass left corner. Hodge, open three, launches. Bang! He knocks it down, his third. And Missouri takes a 14-9 lead. East behind the back, right side of the key, taken by Carter. Hands it right wing, Diarra, open three. Bang! It splashes in. Mo connects from deep, and Missouri takes a 12-point lead. Skip pass intercepted by Caleb Brown. Left to right runs Missouri 3-on-2. Right wing, Hodge, catch and shoot three. Bang! He buried it. And it was Caleb Brown who started it with the interception on the opposing end and then found the shooter.
Coach, do you still believe your team has yet to play their best game of the season so far, or has yet to reach their full potential you've been talking about?
Yeah, we hadn't done that yet. I'm excited to see the day that we do, but also it's encouraging from the standpoint that, you know, I'm waiting to get to 100%. Come on.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday hump day, January 25th. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. Just get this out of the way. Be careful out there. Them streets suck. I cannot tell you how much, with all my heart, with all my damaged heart, I hate driving in this crap. And I know it can get a lot worse, trust me. But such a buzzkill having to drive through that. But leave early. It took me, what did I say, Marco? About 55 minutes to get out of here. But I ain't trying to speed or nothing, you know. I just rolled 435 all the way out. But yeah, it's slick, you know. Visibility can be poor at times. Just be careful. Give yourself plenty of extra time. I know most people can't, but if you can't, just stay home. Just chill out. Be careful. And Don't drive like an a-hole. All right? Don't drive with your hazards 10 miles an hour in the middle of the highway. Or 80 miles an hour. All right? How about this? Let's all pay attention to the speed limit and take care of each other on days like this. Marcos, your drive okay?
My windshield fell off, but we made it.
What do you mean your windshield fell off?
I tried to use it and it fell off.
Your windshield?
My wiper
I'll see your own.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I'll see your windshield fell off?
Man, that'd be a problem.
I'll see, that was a terrible drive for you.
Yeah, a lot of snow on it. No, wiper fell off, but mm-hmm. It's okay. We retrieved it. We'll hook it up later. But, yeah, I liked the drive-in. It was good.
I was told, by my surgeon, he must know that he must listen to the show and know that I fall down all the time in the ice and snow. He told me in his list of warnings every time I've gone, post-op and then my second post-op visit, he was looking at me. He's, don't walk in the ice and snow if you can help it. Do not fall down or you'll be back to see me. I'm like, I look at Susan because that's a very high probability of me falling, right? And I couldn't find my freaking, almost cussed, snow boots, and so I'm wearing my Saucony's. Hey, they're my stability shoes, right? I'm trying to get an edge, and everything was good. And then I almost fell in the parking lot out here because it was slick. Our sidewalk was good, but the parking lot wasn't. And so I was like, grab my car. Okay, all right. Remember what he said. Walk like a penguin. Be very careful. You know, you walk like a penguin. Some people walk like an Egyptian. Walk like a penguin. Okay. I got this. I'm not going to fall. And then sometimes when you're thinking about not doing something, that's when you do it. Like, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. Okay, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. I got in there. Susan, on the way to work, called me. Don't fall. I'm like, I don't want to. I'm not going to go out there and try to. I don't want to. I feel like I'm getting, bad vibes put on me. I was getting jinxed, but I'm all right. Made it. Because I don't want to go back and have surgery again, so I'm good. So be careful. I don't want no one else to fall either. So we'll talk to Gary Lezak later and find out how long this is going to last or if the worst is over or whatever. So I don't like it, though. I'm over it. We've been lucky. There haven't been a lot of bad snow days or nothing like that. There hasn't been too much ice or whatever to deal with, but I'm happy that way.
School get canceled?
I keep looking. I was kind of expecting it. No.
I can teach kids from home now.
Yeah, but, best case scenario, they get in there, but I don't know. I feel like I would have received notification by now. Your kids' school canceled?
We just got an email about an hour ago. It looks like, yes, they are.
For real?
Yeah. Which surprised me a little bit. I told my kids last night when they were going to bed, don't get your hopes up because the weather's not going to get that cold. Because it's not really frozen out there on the roads right now. It's just very slushy, right?
Yeah, it's slushy.
It was slick in some spots. Don't get it twisted. Be careful. But on the road, yeah, it just depends. I mean, on the highway, it was slick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not trying to minimize. Obviously, be careful while you're out there.
Right. You didn't get a big sampling of this of the roads.
I did not. Short drive.
Yeah. I just want people to be careful. I care about you, Kansas City.
That makes one of us.
My daughter's going to be pissed. I feel like I would have gotten notified by now. My Tay doesn't have to worry about the snow in Kansas City anymore. That's just Alberto Mondesi because he's gone. He's been traded. I had one guy. All of my friends, can't stand Mondesi. I don't know if I've ever heard one of my friends happier than a guy got traded than my buddy Sam. He gets so irrationally mad about Mondesi. And so he was the first person I texted when I found out. But then another buddy of mine was like, This JJ seems to like mediocre relievers more than position players. Surprised the return for him was so light. I go, you kidding me? I'm surprised anybody wanted him. I mean, seriously. I was to the point where, and I get it, everyone can be just allured with his high-end talent and everything else. I was done. I've been done. That's why Mike Boddicker loves to needle me. Loved Boddicker, past tense, loved to needle me about Ryan O'Hearn and Adalberto Mondesi, because it would frustrate me. It would make me mad, and I get it. Ryan O'Hearn apparently was a great clubhouse guy, and he's the kind of guy that'll, you know, smack you on the ass and say, hey, all right, you know, and mentor you through tough times, apparently. But he can't hit. And so then make him a coach. Make him a clubhouse guy. I don't know. Make him a bench coach, something. All right? So you could extract that value out of him without him stealing at bats from younger players. So he's gone. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Mondesi, it's like, stop it. Stop repeatedly ramming your head up against the wall. Okay, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And maybe he goes somewhere, and maybe he goes to Boston and has a decent year. Great. Because for whatever reason, maybe there's a voodoo doll out there, it was not going to happen in Kansas City. So there will be, it's, I was to the point, if they would have said, hey, we're just cutting them. We're releasing them. Like, you know what? That's best for both parties, okay? You ever have any friends that were married, and then every time you were around them, like, God, why are they together? They make everyone else miserable. All they do is fight. They clearly don't like each other. Just break up. A divorce could be probably better for both of you. And then they end up getting a divorce, and then he's happy and she's happy, like, eh. You know? We've been around a couple of those.
We have.
Haven't we? Oh. Marco, don't get married. It ain't good.
We have.
All right? You're spot ain't.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
your spot ain't meant for marriage, all right? What are you looking at me for?
Well, I was actually just thinking that luckily for me and you, I don't feel like we're in that boat, you know?
But maybe producing this show does not lead itself to, is what I'm saying.
Being in that room. Okay.
All right, I'm just trying to give him some
I get it.
Fatherly, yeah. Big brotherly, whatever, yeah. Kind of uncle-y advice,
yeah.
Whatever you want to say, you know? Hey. Stay gold, pony boy, stay gold.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've been around those people, like, you know?
Sure, yeah.
That's the Royals and Mondesi, like, you guys are miserable. It ain't going to work. Just break up.
Yeah.
Move on. And I heard
you both need a fresh start.
I heard Seren say this. And maybe this is just bad that this was my reaction. What did they get for him? I don't care.
Right.
That was my first reaction.
Right.
Modesty traded. What did they get for him? I don't care. What?
That's what Seren said too.
No, he just said he didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Now tell me. I don't care. Now tell me.
Yeah.
I don't know. A pitching machine? A bag of baseballs? You know, I don't know. I don't care.
So you're satisfied with the return then?
Yeah, a player
then.
To yes, be named yes. later?
There's a player to be named later going to the Red Sox. Good. Don't make that something silly. But, I mean, I don't care. They're moving on from him. And that's good. It's because that temptation's no longer there. And maybe that temptation mostly belonged to Dayton Moore. Maybe, Mondesi was his temptress, and he just couldn't get over the fact that, oh, if you were ever to put it all together, it's got to be in a Royals uniform, right? And maybe now that Dayton's gone, like JJ and Scott Sharp and everyone else, and Q comes in as the manager. Like,
now, we've seen this play a few times.
Hey, Q, what do you think? I'm good. I don't need that.
I don't need this temptation anywhere. Yeah. I don't want to be tempted to play him. I don't want anyone, oh, you know, what about modesty? No. Yeah. Boston. Okay? And so I think it was great. It's a great sign that the Royals are moving on from these players who didn't fit the present or the future. And the Royals did acquire lefty reliever Josh Taylor, who has his own injury history. But again, I don't care. All right? He was a fine reliever in 2019 and in 2021. Didn't pitch in 2022 because of a back injury. Okay. All right. Good trade. And I think it's just it's a even better sign of what's happening there. And now, they're making moves now. All right. Michael A. Taylor gone. Not afraid to trade him in the division to the Twins, which is great. Another great sign. Don't get stuck in, oh, you never trade in there. Why not? What if they're giving you the best return? Why not? Is Michael A. Taylor, whatever he does with the Twins, really going to keep you up at night and prevent you from helping your baseball team? No. It shouldn't. Make the best deal. All right? Now they've moved on from modesty. Now next up, apparently, we'll see. We will see. Ken Rosenthal out there reporting last night that the Chicago White Sox are interested in Nicky Lopez. I like Nicky. You like Nicky. We all like Nicky. Nice kid.
Yep.
Good defender. Multiple positions. Can't really hit. But unless you plan on making him the third baseman and having a third baseman that can't hit, then he's a utility guy moving forward. Because right now my middle infield's Michael Massey and Bobby Witt Jr. And I like, in my mind, I like Michael Garcia as far as the order of preferences that I'd like to see out there. So there's multiple guys that I'd rather see at shortstop right now. And if the White Sox say, well, you know what, we got a hole in our starting lineup and Nicky Lopez can fill it, get something of use from the White Sox. Get another arm. Hell, whatever. Fine. I like Nicky. Sad to see him go. Fun guy. But if they can move on from him, because his role on this team, to me, does not appear to be in the starting lineup. He's a utility guy. And so, yeah, on board. And no, I'm not afraid to trade him in the division either. Wait a minute. You can't trade him to the White Sox. I mean, yes, you can. And maybe they will. We'll see. So there you go.
Huh? Yeah.
You on board?
Yes. Okay. Yes, very much.
Get on board, Marco. You're on board. He's not. I can see. He's
get him on board.
No. You're like, oh.
Like marriage. I'm staying away from that.
Stay away from it. We'll take a break. You stay away from DraftKings Sportsbook. No, you won't because you love it. We got lots to talk about. Missouri won last night. K-State lost. The Chiefs are playing in the AFC Championship game. The Royals are making moves. It's snowing. I love it. Except for the snow. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Now here's what I want to hear. No smart mouth from either one of you. Did you see the Chiefs TikTok they posted last night or yesterday? Look. Let me see. Who's, okay. Look right here. Luke's walking. Now pay attention. I'm trying to help you. Look at this. They're walking by. Look at Mahomes. Look at him walking. Look at him walking back. I don't see no limp. Look at him walking in the background.
I see him there.
I'll do it again. Keep it zoomed in. I'll do it again. I'm 38 the spot. Look at him in the background. You see a boot? You see anything? I see a quarterback walking to practice is what I see on TikTok.
He's like Fitty. He doesn't walk
now,
with a limp.
Everyone get mad at me for looking at the Chiefs TikTok and seeing him
walking
in the background?
Can we keep that private, please?
No. No, and they were asking the question, like, what teammate would most likely be a professional wrestler, I think was the question they were asking on Cheese TikTok. Cheese TikTok's good.
Well, I think the best professional wrestler on the team would either be Frank Clark or Chris Jones.
Creed Humphrey, man. Yeah, he's got
Creed
that
Humphrey.
Look.
And then I was going to say, look. Creed Humphrey's kind of got a Dusty Rhodes kind of personality to him.
Of course, the best guy on the mic would be Kelsey.
Yeah, he'd be the ravishing Rick Rude type, you know. Yeah.
That's not unreasonable that I'm looking at Chief's TikTok and see him walking in the background to practice.
Keep it private, man.
But do you not take nothing away from that?
I take something away from that.
Marco?
Somebody got permission to post that.
It's the Chief's TikTok. And there are people of a certain age that have no idea what I'm talking about. But I promise you.
I'm almost there.
But I showed you.
I do. I saw it. And I realized.
That's not nothing.
Gosh, now I got to spend more time on TikTok again.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's not nothing.
There's like a kid-friendly TikTok, too.
What does that mean, kid-friendly?
Well, you know.
There's not kid-friendly ones?
Ones that my nieces and nephews use, and so I see my mom and dad use it because they can share videos with them.
I'm stalking Mahomes to see if he's walking around. There he's walking in that TikTok. I say, hey, there he is right there. Any thoughts on the Chiefs trading Adalberto Mondesi and crushing my friend Sam's heart?
Yeah. I think we talked about that yesterday on the show. They're going to shop Hunter Dozier.
I didn't listen to the show yesterday, so I have to refresh my memory.
here's the part that I guess I didn't fully say. This is, if you're a Royals fan right now and you're thinking about what this season's going to be, this I'm just telling you the truth. You can like it or not. I personally think this is the right approach, but. For Dayton Moore being gone, J.J. Piccolo's actually in charge now. Remember that last year, how we spent all this time wondering, like, hey, who's really calling the shots? Every time J.J. Piccolo has a press conference, Dayton Moore has another one, like, right after him and contradicts half the things J.J. said, right? So J.J.'s actually getting to run the team now the way that he wants to. And he and Matt Quatraro, this season, whether you like it or not, is going to be a season where they must find answers.
Call them Q.
Q. They want answers. They want to know if Kyle Isbell, Drew Waters, Oliveras, Nate Eaton, they want to know if which ones of these guys are going to be part of the future.
I got an answer for you. Ian Brown, who covered the Red Sox, tweeted out last night, Shane Bloom says Mondesi is still rehabbing from his injury, and there's a chance he won't be ready for opening day.
Oh, well. Color me shocked.
Huh.
Color me shocked. But the Royals, and I think it's unfortunate that they're still in this position, but the Royals now are in a position where I think they should have found out some of these answers. All these young pitchers, the ones that have struggled, I think they feel like, well, they struggled under Cal Eldred. But if we get a different coaching staff in place, will some of those pitchers blossom? You don't want to give up on those pitchers yet. But so I think they can't afford to go into next offseason still wondering if all these guys can play.
If you were somebody out there complaining about Cal Eldred and saying that he was part of the problem, then you should want to see these young pitchers without Cal Eldred.
100%. Because what if you let those guys go and they end up in San Francisco and they become Cy Young Award winners?
No,
you know
Cal Eldred
I mean?
Was a problem.
Yeah.
So let's find out if Cal Eldred was a problem.
And all these guys that you wanted to see play last year that were getting blocked by mediocre veterans. And I'm going to put Whit Merrifield in that category, by the way. They want to see these guys play every day. They don't want mediocre veterans in their way. And they don't want Adalberto Mondesi hanging over Bobby Witt Jr. there at shortstop. Because they kind of need to find out if Bobby Witt Jr. is really a shortstop. They know he's going to be a great everyday player. But is that as a center fielder? Is that as a shortstop? Is that as a third baseman? And they want him to play every day at shortstop for a second year to see if he gets better defensively. Because the defensive metrics say he wasn't that good last year. They want to see him get better at that. So that's why they're doing these moves. That's why they didn't go out and sign a bunch of other mediocre free agents. They want to see these guys play. And is that going to make them a contender this year? Probably not, honestly. But then they can go into next offseason with some answers and knowing where they need to get players and which guys can play and which guys they probably need to move on from.
Played that first clip from JJ. He was asked about the timing of the Mondesi and Taylor trades?
Yeah, not necessarily. They didn't hinge on each other. The discussion with Michael really started back at in the winter meetings. Mondi was a little bit more after the winter meetings, and that shortstop market was deep. So I think that the teams that were in the hunt for some of the free agent shortstops, we knew we were going to have to wait it out a little bit to see if anybody came after Mondesi, and ultimately it was Boston. But, you know, to answer your question, one didn't hinge on the other. Getting two players back that aren't off that are off the roster will help us manage our roster moving forward. But that, you know, they were independent deals of each other.
Let's play number three. JJ was asked if these trades are an indication of a rebuild.
I think it makes our transition better to being competitive. You know, that's so I don't like using the word rebuild. I know that their teams do get into rebuilds, but, you know, the players that are going to be in the lineup a majority of the time have major league experience right now. They just simply need to take their next steps, whatever it may be. And, you know, when a guy gets 2 to 3 years, 4 years in the major leagues, it becomes more clear to us what that player is going to be in the long run and allows us to plan for the future years. So this is just, by trading Michael, trading Mondesi, it gives young guys an opportunity to play and really kind of, in some ways, just kind of clears space for them where we don't have to figure out how do we get Bobby at shortstop when you have Mondesi on the team? How do we get Nicky Lopez in the lineup? You know, it helps us. But again, it all hinged on the return. If we didn't like the return, we would not have done it. But we do like the return. And I just think it helps us move forward as we plan for not just 23, but really 24, 25, 26.
And if the White Sox want to get something of value for Nicky Lopez, do it. And if you can find a partner for Scott Barlow before his value decreases, do it. But all I ask, since Scott Barlow is a very good reliever and does have good value, whoever you're trading with, tell them, yes, you can have Scott Barlow. As long as you acquire Hunter Dozier with him. That's a package deal, friends. You want Scott Barlow? You want one of the best relievers in the American League? Well, as a companion piece, you get this very nice bat off the bench there. How's that sound to you? Kill two birds with one stone, contender. Yeah, I'm attaching him.
I like it.
You like that? You like that? It'd
be very difficult to trade Hunter Dozier on his own. So what you do is you, much like we with Augie, we're giving her, after her trip to the doggy ER, we're now, she's taking medicine. And for her to take this medicine, we have to cover the medicine in peanut butter.
Yep.
And that's what we have to do with you sometimes when you're
right,
sick.
That's how I always take
right?
my medicine.
Okay?
Yeah.
So so basically, what I'm trying to tell you is, in order to trade Hunter Dozier, you must cover him in peanut butter. And the peanut butter is Scott Barlow. And then a contender will then lick Hunter Dozier clean and consume him and accept him. If he's covered in the Scott Barlow flavored peanut butter.
See, the dog, my old dog Desi used to lick all the peanut butter clean and then spit the pill back out. So
now Augie eats these.
Yeah,
you know.
So we need a team that's ravenous yeah. for Scott Barlow.
Yeah, that's right.
So hungry for Scott Barlow that they'll swallow Hunter Dozier as well.
Whoa! Wow!
Well, that was just carrying them.
That's not. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
Well, that's exactly what you
said. I use different words.
You said we need a team that is so mm-hmm. ravenous. They have such an insatiable appetite
for
Scott Barlow that they
it.
Will swallow Hunter Dozier along with it.
Right. Now I'd like to have some peanut butter. I'd like to have some peanut butter on a bagel right now.
That sounds delicious.
Okay. We'll take a break. Hey, Lebo, bring some bagels in. Where are you? Coming in here? Who's coming in here? Anyone? I think that's good to come in the studio. Matt Derrick's on the phone. Gary Lezak's on the phone. Greg Gurley's on the phone. Boulevard Brewing Company. Hey, fellas. What's up? Let's take a break. Back after this on WHB.
Yeah. is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. All I want to do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
Andy Reid was on the Let's Go podcast with Tom Brady and Jim Gray yesterday. You should listen to it. Good conversation with Big Red and Tom Brady. But here, Andy Reid was talking about Patrick Mahomes' ankle with Tom Brady and Jim Gray.
You love the grit, but sometimes you got to try to protect the player from the player too. So these guys are wired different, Jim. I mean that you can hear it in Tom's voice. They want to rip your heart out every possible way they can, jump on it, squeeze it, and everything else. And that's the way Patrick was at that time. But yeah. I just wanted to make sure that son of a gun wasn't broken because it was kind of an ugly look right there. But once he got it checked out, he was good to go, and he's doing well now. So he's in a good place.
And how will you protect him leading up to the game so that he's able to play? Are you going to have to keep him away from himself?
I'm going to let his offensive linemen take care of that. They need to feel that and, up their game a little bit here.
All right. So Andy Reid has put it on the offensive lineman to protect the quarterback. Gray was also asking Mike Tyson about his back.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
That was none of the podcast, but of course, whenever we talk about Jim Gray, that gives me the opportunity to play that conversation. So,
what's wrong with Patrick Mahomes? He sprained his ankle. Right. What do you mean by that? His ankle is sprained.
Foot.
No. Hey, you know what this is? I think you feel the same way. This all just feels like a prelude to the next chapter in the legend of Patrick Mahomes. You know, like all the different things that he's done already in his career. All these different moments. The dislocated kneecap and coming back and leading the team to the Super Bowl. We can go down the list. The left-handed pass against the Broncos. It just feels like this whole thing is a prelude to, remember that time he finally beat Joe Burrow and the Bengals and he did it on one leg when nobody thought he could play or should play? Like, it doesn't, I just...
Oh, remember the time everyone was worried about his leg all week long and he was fine?
Yeah.
And then he just kicked ass?
But how could he be fine when we saw what happened to him on last weekend? But it's because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Remember how Eli Apple got lit up in the championship game?
By the way,
let me tell you something. I'm going to be covering the game with Dr. Todd Lebo out at Arrowhead, and so...
He's got a doctorate now.
Hopefully, good reception, and I'll be able to follow this. But I'm just going to give you a little friendly tip as far as entertainment value. If Eli Apple gets burned at all on Sunday, just jump right on Twitter and check out reaction from Buffalo Bills players, because it will be immediate and it will be fierce. Right? Twitter is going to go wild if Eli Apple gets burned or has a bad pass interference or does anything bad on Sunday. He's been talking so much trash on all these different Buffalo Bills fans. Bills players will be waiting patiently for him to do anything wrong on Sunday. And so will all of us, right? Let it happen, football gods. Let's go. Target him. What?
It's got to be communicated to the Chiefs players, don't you think? Bills players got Chiefs players' numbers, phone numbers.
I think the Chiefs, I mean, they probably just see all this and laugh.
Yeah. I don't know that they need anybody to point it out to them. It's pretty much there in your face.
Oh, I mean, look, they've gone through this with Eli Apple. He did the same thing to Tyreek Hill and Chiefs players last year after they won the championship game, remember? How he got on Twitter and trashed everybody. And then he helped lose the Super Bowl. I mean, Cooper Kupp put a clown suit on him with big floppy shoes and a red nose that he honked. All right? But, boy, that didn't deter him. He's back for more. But you know what? They're back in the championship game. So to the victor goes the spoils. We'll see if he could back it up on Sunday at Arrowhead. So there's a clip from Andy Reid. He appeared on the Tom Brady, Jim Gray, Let's Go podcast of – Download that if you want
to. It's entertaining, man.
Which part?
Well, Stephon Diggs telling him he's cloud chasing, and his response, safe travels to Cabo, fam, airplane, right. Prayer emoji.
Oh, yeah. He did, and then
Shaq Lawson.
Shaq Lawson threatened to beat him up.
Yep.
Right? And so Eli Apple's, and then Eli Apple didn't reply for a while. They go, maybe they got him. Maybe he realized that this is a step too far. And apparently it wasn't, because after Shaq Lawson said, you played a good game, Eli Apple, but disrespect my boy, Hamlin Island situation, that blank get you beat up for real. Keep it on the field. And then Eli Apple responded, a shame you couldn't keep that same energy on the field. Maybe the outcome would have been different. Enjoy Mexico with the homies. So then his mom, Annie Apple, she tweets out, calling all Eli Apple haters, please use the hashtag love to hate Eli Apple, and we'll donate $5,000 to the Salvation Army in Cincinnati. The first 5,000 tweets with that hashtag. Make your hate count.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, put that Eli Apple hate to great use and help families needing housing and care. And so I'm like, okay, now we can enjoy this. We can hate Eli Apple, and it could be for a good cause. So.
Well, I think he seems to be having fun with being the heel, and it's entertainment. As we talk about all the time, it's the entertainment industry. So, yeah, that's great that they're doing for a great cause, and I'm entertained. I will say that, man. Enjoy Mexico.
I did like they showed a Tweety ad from last year when his mom tweeted out, tickets to the AFC Championship game is way too expensive. And someone said, tell Eli Apple to pay for it. And his response was, mama can watch from the crib. And then he retweeted that and said, mama still can't go to KC. So all that's fun, but I want to see him just get burned repeatedly on Sunday. Back at this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Iowa State beats K-State last night 80-76. And Mizzou gets a much-needed road win against Ole Miss 89-77. The crazy thing about Mizzou in this game is, like, here we are 20 games into the season, and they have made a couple of, I mean, what could it be, massive upgrades to the team this late in the season, which were got to the point where now they were quite unexpected. Obviously, Isaiah Mosley, who was their crown jewel in the transfer portal in the offseason, because he averaged 20 points a game from Missouri State last year, is a Columbia kid. What do we ask Gabe every week? Well, how come he's not playing? Is he going to play? We don't know. I don't know. Dennis Gates with his cryptic answers. Now, apparently, it's all good. And he started last night. And there was a sequence up, oh, my God, Isaiah Mosley, where he's got such a quick release, too. He had back-to-back threes. Yeah, I'm like, oh. But it's like they just got a new player, like right now. Right? Mm-hmm. And so last night, 29 minutes, 20 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, 4-7 from 3. He's like over 40% 3-point shooter last year. 8-15 from the floor. I'm like, so if they add him now, he's going to be a starter. He's going to go from not playing at all, not contributing at all, but now he's going to be a starter, and he could be the guy that they thought could be the leading scorer or the second, whatever. Like last night, Hodge had 24 and Mosley had 20 and Kobe Brown had 18. That changes everything. But not just that. And so one of the first commits that he got, it might have been the first one, was this JUCO big man named Muhammad Diarra, right? And he's 6'10", and he's from France. Which leads us to Orson Welles, the French.
Ah, the French champagne.
And he's
the French big men have always been celebrated.
Doesn't play. And they need a big guy, right? They get out read about it by everybody. Mm-hmm. And so then you think, well, he's just not ready. He's a JUCO guy that's not ready. And so, you know, he needs to put weight on and get stronger, and then maybe next year we'll see him, right? Now he's playing.
11 minutes last night?
In the last game against Alabama, I know they got beat, but Alabama was one of the best teams in the nation. In 14 minutes, he had 8 points and 12 rebounds. And you're like, yes, go on. And then last night he played 17 minutes, and he had 11 points and 6 rebounds. And like, he even hit a 3, and it looked good. I'm like, But so I'm like, I'm watching the Missouri team I've watched all year long, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, this is the team that we've had, but now we're going to add 2 impact players, which doesn't happen in game 20. And so, like, whatever, like, I don't know why they weren't playing. I don't know why all of a sudden, well, DR's put on 20 pounds since he's got there, which, you know, I mean, I could do that in a week and a half, but still, that's significant, right? 20 pounds and
a very. Some hats over there? What's going on?
Very, you know, thin frame. Mm-hmm. He's put on 20 pounds. He's gotten acclimated, and all of a sudden he's playing. I mean, you watched, I'm assuming you didn't watch it. Did you?
Yeah.
That's like. Oh, look, a 6'10 guy who's, like, active and can move and is coordinated and can hit a 3. Like,
Coordinated is the big word there.
And then, like,
keyword.
Because we've seen 6'10 guys and 6'11 guys that Konzo Martin would bring in, and they, you know, like, oh, good, they can walk and talk at the same time. Maybe not. And then Isaiah Mosey last night, right? And then all of a sudden you had those two guys. Like, now, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what Missouri could be.
Big men that can play outside the perimeter.
That raises the bar. That's crazy. So it's like, if you've been watching Missouri, it's like, try to wrap your head around that. And if these two guys are going to play and be important parts of the rotation, then maybe that raises their ceiling. I mean, when you add a guy that scored 20 last year and you add a JUCO All-American, now all of a sudden is playing, that's 6'10". Even if he's just off the bench, that didn't happen in game 20. And that was very exciting last night. And now they got to play Iowa State, who looked terrific at BK State. So.
Well, this Big 12 SEC matchups this weekend, it's a lot of good games. I mean, Iowa State, Missouri, Florida, K-State, and Kansas, Kentucky. But I don't know, man. As a Kansas fan, and I would think as a Kansas State fan right now, I'm way more concerned about this Big 12 race than I am these games this weekend. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird.
Get a breather.
Yeah.
You know?
But some breather, you know. Hey, go play at Missouri. Good luck. But I mean, there's this Big 12, there's 3 teams tied at 6-2, and then there's 3 teams tied at 5-3. Half the league is within a game of first place. It's just crazy.
Iowa State, baby. We will take a break. Back after this on WHP.